June 18th, Pikes Peak Center, Colorado Springs, Colorado, prepares for the funniest show on Earth.
'Cause I'm free! Take it!
Free falling!
That was good. I'm feeling it. I'm gonna take this one. 'Cause I'm free!
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Free falling!
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh. He's still there. Joe Louis is good.
That's called Second Time Better Be the Charm. Started those who were watching on Mug Club, we had to redo the intro. We're good, Toolman, right?
Yes, we are
all right.
Good.
YouTube, we apologize about that. There was some kind of an issue with the streaming. Glad to be with you. Monday. Look, we have a lot to talk about today. I went to go see the Jurassic Kingdom, Jurassic World. I don't know the name. Jurassic World, Old Dominion, Fallen Kingdom. So that you don't have to. This is what we call foreshadowing. I don't know if you can guess what the review is going to be, but I'm foreshadowing, like, you know, someone who writes fiction. Call me Steinbeck. And we have other things to talk about today. I don't even know this, but some feds, I mean, white supremacists were caught in Idaho for planning to riot, intent to riot.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's not a thing. And Canada, my home country. This is important for you to note. The Prime Minister of Canada, just went on. He is now saying what we've been saying on the show for a long time, saying you don't have the right to firearms for self-defense in Canada. You don't have the right because we don't have a constitution. You do not have the right to defend yourself with firearms in Canada, and we don't want that. And it's important for you to understand this because Canada is just a skip and a hop away. I grew up, right? I was 45 minutes from the upstate New York border. You cross a border and you are in a land where you don't have the right to speak freely and you don't have the right to defend yourself. And that is what they want if you look at the case law here in the United States. It's not about the grip. It's not about the trigger. It's not about the bump stock. It is, do you have the right to own a firearm? Everywhere else in the world says no. This is the one place where we say yes. Why? Because it is, at least as it's interpreted right now, absolute. So my questions to you, do you believe the Second Amendment is absolute? I want you to comment below. It's an important question. I'm curious to see what you have to say. If there are exceptions also, did you see Jurassic Kingdom, Jurassic World, whatever the title is? Did you see it? And did you also think that it was a festering pile of dog feces? Okay. And we have Michael Moore on the show. I forgot. He reached out. We're talking about the Second Amendment. Reaching across the aisle. We will have him on the show. So everyone in chat, be respectful. I appreciate that he's coming on the show. Disagree with him, of course, but he's from our hometown of Michigan.
Yes.
Gerald A. is here. You doing well?
The town of Michigan.
I'm doing well.
Good. And Dave Landau, quickest man on his feet. How are you?
Ahoy. Good. I didn't watch that movie.
Good for you.
My son did.
Right.
That's why I didn't ask him how he's doing. I don't care after making me watch that movie.
Which brings us right into, let's just get this over with. Just rip off the Tyrannosaurus Rex-sized Band-Aid.
Ah.
It's time for a Mug Club movie review. All right. So Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Dominion.
Son of a... Fallen Kingdom was the last one?
I think it was the last one, yeah. So now the Fallen Kingdom is being dominated? I don't know.
Okay. Was it a Dominion?
Well, yeah, before I get... let me just let you know. Let me preface
right.
it with this. As far as the rating, okay. So you don't waste your time if you don't want to watch the rest of this. Two mugs down. Absolutely. It's not even close.
Oh, wow.
That is one big pile of shit.
Good work, Edit Pay.
Yeah.
That was breathtaking.
Yeah.
And the movie is so, there are so many reasons to dislike it. Apparently, I was snoring because it's like 3 hours long.
It is long, yeah.
first, before I address it, let's show a clip so you know the kind of festering fecal matter that we're dealing with. Oh, yes, this is where Bryce Dallas Howard outruns a velociraptor.
Sure.
Dead. She's already dead. She's already dead. 15 times she's dead. And that CGI would look bad for a video game. Oh my god. It's like you're watching...
So she made it and the dinosaur barely made it?
Barely made it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get mad when I watch... And I know it's not supposed to be realistic, but there is a certain point. Look, I get mad when people outrun the dog in a film more than four paces.
Of course.
You could start with Joe Louis at the beginning of this hallway. You wouldn't make it past the studio door before he would be in front of you lunging upon you.
Right.
Is this made from stock footage of the Da Vinci Code, by the way? Yes. Where are they?
It's like, is that Tom Hanks in a mullet? Yeah. All right. Guy's flogging himself.
I like how one scene, the velociraptor's like right next to her, and the next one, she's put some distance on him. I'm like, oh, so she can run 70 miles an hour because he can only run 60.
Well, because it was one big advertisement for women's sports.
Yeah.
The dinosaur's like, male dinosaur's like, I want to play too.
Yeah.
I can
just a velociraptor going on a
better.
WNBA court, sees all the weaves and tampons.
My son saw it. He went with a group of friends, and he's like, Dad, the guy chokes out a dinosaur. He goes, you can't choke out a dinosaur.
No,
it was seven.
It was, I should let you know, spoiler alerts. It's when the Dilophosaurus is going, and then all of a sudden, Chris, it's about to spit the venom, and Chris Pratt just comes in like, you stomp the, come over here. And it's like, like a Muppet cane.
Yeah, and my son, who's seventh season, just goes, bullshit.
He's willing to take a lot, but not that.
And before we go on to the rest of the film, look, here's the thing, too, with these big budget pictures, we actually have an exclusive here.
Oh, okay.
They often tape multiple endings. You know, if you've watched DVDs, Blu-rays, you know they'll tape multiple endings, especially with these cinematic universes. And actually, at the end of the previous film, Fallen Kingdom, a lot of people don't know this, there was a version where instead of, you know, hitting the button and allowing the dinosaurs to go out and kill all of the neighbors, they didn't hit the button, and the dinosaurs were kept in the building that burned down. So obviously, they didn't make it. And we had the script rights. We did here. A lot of people don't know this, we produce films. We had the script rights to the sequel to Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. But we had the rights to the third film with that alternate ending. We have a clip.
You know, this is nice.
You know, it's a roll of the dice whenever you're buying script rights, and we should have bought the rights to the other version.
Just
I don't know, that was pretty good.
It was better than
it was much better.
Better than Jurassic World 2.
I know, it's so hard. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Dominion. Jeff Goldblum is a parody of himself. Yes. Let me tell you why it was terrible. Okay, the story is obviously laughable, but you're not going for a story. The acting is shockingly bad. Now I like Chris Pratt, and so I know people will give me crap for this. It's just this is possibly the worst big budget film that I've ever seen. The CGI would be bad for a video game. It's to the point of not just being unrealistic. Of course, we're dealing with dinosaurs, but they're not even realistic by their own standards. The scale of the dinosaurs change. I mean, the messaging is terrible. They use now this in there as a source, or like, which, you know, if you know what that is, a far left news source.
Yeah, and it starts with Jeff Goldblum showing velociraptors apartments.
Right, yes. Ah, get your apartment at apartments.com.
Yeah, it's nice right here in Rome.
Yeah. Rent will find a way. And he's a parody of himself. And then the messaging that they try and push, of course, about climate. And this is before, by the way, they wanted to tell everyone that the vaccines are great because they were dealing with a biotech company, company, which were evil because they wanted them to be like Monsanto. But then you realize there are a lot of parallels to Pfizer. And then at the end, spoiler alert, at the end, they show elephants running with triceratops. Elephants can't run with hippopotamuses, right? And then they show a leviathan with a humpback whale. Like, what?
It's lunch.
They can't live with sharks. And what was it? They have the other ones with the horses.
Yeah,
the iguanodons.
The iguanodons with the horses. You know
that. That's another one where, again, a seven-year-old said, yeah, he's riding a horse and he lassos a dinosaur. And I was like, yeah, this just sounds awful.
Yeah.
That's like three times the size of the horse.
Right, that's what he said. He's
the
like,
dinosaur
this
would look back and be like, huh, whatever.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't know why they make this big deal if she's trying to outrun the raptor, because you find out that it's so easy even a child can do it. You can just stop a velociraptor, even though it's the size of a human with the brain of a bird, by doing this. Hey, listen to me.
Eyes here.
Eyes here. And the raptor's eyes like, ooh,
oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. It's like what you do with a grizzly bear.
Right. Yes.
Same difference.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I wanted to play dead.
No, it's terrible, too. They tried to throw in like every possible storyline that they could find and didn't develop any of them. And then this is what pisses me off. Like, the T-Rex has lost a couple of times, but they always let the T-Rex win in the end. Like,
spoiler alert.
T-Rex
wins in the end.
Right? They end it with a scene. Like, how's this going to possibly end? I don't know. The T-Rex fighting somebody, looking like he's going to lose.
Yeah.
And then finding a way to win, only because he has help.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of like Hulk Hogan when he's getting beaten, like,
yeah.
And then he comes back and he beats him.
Well, no, somebody comes in from the audience and clotheslines the guy that's on him. That's what it's like. It's like the fish ate the other dinosaur last time, and then this time he gets his butt kicked, and then another one comes in that looks like some weird Edward Scissorhands bird.
And you didn't like these, and you love crap.
It's easy for me to like movies.
Yeah.
I have a low bar with movies. I like storylines. I can kind of fill in the holes myself, but Chris Pratt looked like he was phoning it in. Like, if you watched his face during scenes where he wasn't talking,
he looked ashamed of himself.
He really did.
Just flogging himself the whole movie.
He's like, Da Vinci.
Just like the Da Vinci's.
Oh, our daughter's back.
Yeah.
Hug.
Yeah. Well, so look, bad. If you thought, hey, you know what Jurassic Park needs? It needs a villain who shows up like halfway through and no one cares about, and it needs clones. Then this is the film for you.
Yeah.
If you said that's what Jurassic Park needs, and we also need to care about people more than the dinosaurs, when really you just want to see them get eaten. It was just, also when I was there, I know people will say I'm being a snob, and this is, no, look, I like plenty of large scale films. Okay, I loved Top Gun. We talked about it. Yeah. The issue here too, I went every single preview was for a reboot, for a sequel, or Kung Fu Panda that wasn't Kung Fu Panda. It was like Samurai Tiger.
I'm sitting there
like, it's Kung Fu Panda, but with a tiger? Look, people say this is what people want. It's not what people want. These are films that are being made so that they can be marketable in China. And you know what? If they actually offered you some mid-level thrillers, think about the great ones that we had, like Fatal Attraction, like Basic Instinct, like a movie like Breakdown. Or
Breakdown is brilliant.
It's fantastic. Brilliant. Or even Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there just aren't enough of those being made because it's either ultra-low budget, right, super indie, mumblecore, crap, or they want to create a universe so that they can license it for merchandising. The truth is, Hollywood is not actually responding to what the market would want. Mm-hmm. They're trying to cater to these international markets and just say, what's the easiest way to throw this down center plate? There is nothing original about this film. There is nothing redeeming about this film. It's also not even entertaining. If it was just crap, but at least it was fun to watch. I wanted everyone to go extinct.
Can I play Two Mugs Down again?
Play it one more time.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think it's fair.
I wish it was Gene Shalit.
Yeah.
Maybe these writers should take a cue from the T-Rex and shorten the length.
Yeah, 2.5 hours.
Well, that's
crap.
What's amazing is the human attention span for one of those is 90 minutes, really.
Right.
And now when people are now dumber and have a shorter attention span, they're like, what should we do? Make it 3 hours? Good.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
On top of 36 minutes of previews, none of which I wanted to see.
No.
I'm not kidding. The movie didn't. I saw it at 7:25. It didn't start until after 8. I looked at my watch.
And your son is 7?
7.
Yeah, I remember the first two films that I recognized were terrible when I was like, oh, they can spend a lot of money to make crap. The Pest with John Leguizamo.
Awful.
And Batman and Robin.
Awful in every way.
As a child, I realized this is really bad, and I feel as though they're pandering. I feel they don't respect my 7-year-old intelligence.
No, it's very offensive that he just have Bane covered in crazy straws. It's a wrestler. He doesn't even talk.
Yeah. The point is, we locked people down, right? They couldn't go to theaters for years. We have a mental health crisis, and then you thrust in front of them this crap. Hollywood, we've got to do better. You don't want this to get worse. We have a mental health crisis, and part of me wish that I was watching this in Aurora, Colorado. This has been a Mug Club Movie Review. That's how you know it's bad. If Amy Schumer being in it would have improved it.
Oh, it would have made it way better. Oh,
she doesn't make anything better.
Fat bitchiosaurus.
No, I think...
finds a way.
Honestly, I got to say, it sounds like every movie she's made is better than that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I would rather be Clockwork Orange in front of I Feel Pretty.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on here to another another story. Patriot Front, which is a white supremacist group.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of non-federal agents. By the way, worst white supremacist group ever.
They haven't
done anything with Jews, with blacks.
Never even heard of them.
No. I think I've heard of them. Like, maybe once. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I can't do the joke because they're a sponsor. Oh. I've heard of the Supply.
Yes. Well, entirely different.
Yeah. Totally different.
They're group. Delicious. It's a joke.
Yes, it's absolutely a joke. Patriot Front, not delicious. One, no. Dare we say, unsavory.
No.
I would say the opposite. Their pudding sucks.
Yeah.
I bet they're all bad ranchers as well.
Yes. Yeah, I guarantee
bad
it.
Ranchers.
Yeah, bad ranchers.
When I see them, I want to use my Walther.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
And I want to manscape them with my car.
They're not very clear about what they want.
And bankrupt. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
the lights just shut off.
I had to lose all the sponsors to one show.
So Patriot Front, there was nary a federal agent among them, and we know that because we'll never know that. Mm. This is on Saturday. Some of their members were arrested in Idaho, and I'll explain to you why, but I think we have a clip.
You know what they're going to have in their pocket?
What is that, wherever Dark Man?
Yeah. It's the modern-day Klan.
Yes. Now, let me be clear about a couple of things here. We don't have all of the information. A lot of people, obviously, naturally suspecting that there could be federal agents in there. Why? Well, because the federal agents plotted to kidnap Governor Whitmer, and then, of course, this was a sham.
Yes.
It was a sham trial where basically, okay, they couldn't charge anybody, and for some reason, the feds got away with it. And this has happened many, many times, so it is correct for you to be suspicious. Yeah. But I can't say that all of these people were federal agents. I don't believe that to be the case. I think some of them. Let me give you the facts that the media is presenting and what it is that they are not presenting. So there were members, they said, traveled from 11 states with the intent to riot, conspiracy to riot in Idaho, a pride event, mm-hmm. a gay pride event.
In Idaho.
Just
where obviously the biggest pride event will be held.
Yes. Right. And here are some of the things first off, they were all wearing, this is overlay C, they were all wearing khakis, blue shirts, beige hats, white, and that's why you're like, well, they're wearing the Fed uniform.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, they're glowing from here. But here are some things that don't really add up. Let me just give you some information here that, to me, doesn't make sense. So they were pulled over in a U-Haul truck, okay? Conspiracy to riot. If these people, first off, how do you know conspiracy to riot? These people have showed up, I guess, members of Patriot Front, and they've marched, and they're racist. And, of course, if we condemn any viewpoint that would believe a race is superior, inferior, okay, we all agree with that. Also, but if someone is being peaceful, if they're not burning down cities, you can't tell them who to love and who to hate.
Yeah.
We also don't like to talk about this. People have the right to hate. It's wrong. We believe this as Christians that you shouldn't hate people. You should be a lover of people.
Yeah.
People have the right to hate. But when you think about it, the U-Haul truck, this is something I was going, wait, hold on a second. They came in from 11 states, all 30-something people in the back of a U-Haul truck. So this is something that is not only unsafe, impractical. They would all have to escape in one vehicle where someone would have had to provide their license and a security deposit.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get away with it.
Am I the only one who says there's something fishy going on there? Something else? The names have been made available, right, for the men who have been involved. Mm-hmm. No outlet has reported on previous criminal records for anyone. Now, that could change.
Yeah.
But if they release all the names of people involved, you should be able to find pretty quickly the name, the state, their criminal records, their affiliations, because this is if it's a sting, it means they've been monitoring them for a long time, which would mean there was previous activity.
Yeah.
And again, this is the same group they marched in D.C., right? Racist.
Not incident.
No incident.
Yeah.
So
they were monitoring the group or the U-Haul they just rented?
Right. That's the point. If you rent a U-Haul, you're probably not looking to commit a federal crime because you have to take that U-Haul back.
Yeah. Well, of course. No, it makes perfect sense.
What is this all over it? Well, blood. I'm sorry about that. Is that covered by the deposit?
Yeah, I hope
it is.
No,
that's not the conversation.
Also,
is this the one that was used in the giant hate crime? It's totally the same different. Plate,
no.
though.
Yeah,
oh, well, that's weird.
No, this is a COVID mask. I wear it everywhere. Yeah.
Right.
It's all white.
And by the way, here's the police captain discussing, you know, they said they were tipped off. Here's a clip.
Do you know what the original stop was for?
For that.
But how did you know? How did you know that they
were?
We have informants.
Nice.
Said we have informants.
Three informants, right?
It's tough to hear. Some people say three informants, or we have informants, but I don't know if three means literally all of Patriot Front.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, three and there's, what, four of them?
Yeah. Like, three, four, all of them.
Three-fourths of them.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it is.
One somebody with a CDL they got off of Craigslist.
Right.
By the way, one of the weirdest things about this was everywhere. Like, I thought they stopped a terrorist attack because it was, like, it was trending on Twitter. It was all over all the news agencies, and I'm like, oh, man, what happened here? It's like, oh, they had intent to write. Well, what does that mean? Well, they had one, I think, smoke grenade, and then they had like shields.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, huh.
I don't know if you know this, but typically speaking, shields are a defensive tool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it seems like more so they were maybe anticipating people attacking them, which, again, I have no idea. But the point is, you don't typically rent a U-Haul. You don't rent a U-Haul truck to commit a hate crime on national television. And by the way, I mean, there's so many things here that just don't add up, okay? And here's the thing. Even if you disagree and you think that it is deplorable in the actual sense, I'm not saying basket of deplorables, but deplorable for someone to actually believe in racial inferiority, you still have to acknowledge that these people should not be arrested if they haven't committed. This is very Minority Report-esque.
Yeah.
You guys comment below and let me know what you think. Of course, I'm not going to agree with the ideology of the worldview. I condemn it outright. You know what? I'm not even going to say it again because you know where I line up. But the issue here is intent to riot, conspiracy to riot. And I also think the double standard does matter here. And this is where, like you said, you'd think they thwarted a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And when I finally read, it was like 20 dad bods in khakis.
Well, that's the thing that's interesting. They're going to go interrupt a gay pride parade, but they make sure they all match.
Right. Yes, exactly. Not to mention the handbags.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And the handbags didn't even have any weapons.
No.
They were just an accessory.
Yeah. That's it. Empty.
Right. They were really going to pick up dudes.
Oh, it's a big coming out party for them.
They were disguised. They're telling their wives, like, we're going to go hate on them.
Right.
Hate on them real hard all weekend.
But you know, this is the thing with the left, and this is the divide and conquer. I will tell you this. What is my fear? I said this in 2015 when you had the original Black Lives Matter sort of riots taking place.
Yeah.
And you were there back then. I said, look, I am concerned that I grew up in a post-racial America. You know, we had Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We had Family Matters. Our top content, if you look at musical artists, culturally, were black. It was white people consuming that content. We really did grow up in are there individual racists? Sure. But a post-racial America, and I said, you are going to create more racism than ever because you're reintroducing this to a generation, especially by guilting people, especially by guilting young white children, particularly young white males, for something that over which they have no control. And then you see the unequal treatment of people like these Patriot Front. Awful. Okay. Got it. Group that we don't like. But the treatment of them compared to the treatment of, yes, a domestic terror organization who now have multi-million-dollar mansions like Black Lives Matter, who, by the way, committed, well, we'll get to this, billions of dollars in damages and were given room. Quote, this is our leaders, Black Lives Matter. They were rioting, burning down cities, and they were given room to rage, room to destroy.
And we've had these types of conversations before. And I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. It's a very delicate balancing act because while we try to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well.
We have arrived at a point in our country that we should recognize this is not just a moment, it is a movement. It is a movement that is fueled by the diversity, the beautiful diversity of who we are coming together as a unified body. demanding, in this case, change and justice for everyone.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
And of course, that'll bring us to our next segment. But before I do that, look, I have no idea how long we'll be on YouTube. We've talked about this with you. We are off this month of July. Dave and I have some solo dates. We'll be announcing our major fall tour tomorrow. But it's a live show, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. If we don't tell you that we are not on, you can watch on Rumble or you can watch on Mug Club, where we have two times the show. That's not 50% more show. That's 100% more show.
Yeah.
Double show.
Double show.
That's math.
It's a double feature. Thank God it's not a Jurassic.
It's science.
Park math is racist. World.
Well, it can be.
Yes, yeah. Not in our case.
And by can be, I mean it always is. But this brings us now, speaking of Black Lives Matter riots versus January 6th to Gerald No Sports. All right. So
I like his other stinger better.
Yeah, I think his other stinger is better.
We should make them more like that.
So this is set this up for us. All it's right.
So Washington Commanders, you know, the people that used to be called the Washington Redskins but went woke when nobody really cared. And we're like,
guarantee
the Commanders.
You, Commanders is going to have to be changed in 10 years.
I thought it was. Wouldn't it be Commander?
Like, yeah.
Isn't someone in charge? Not a lot of someone's. Anyway.
Yeah, otherwise you just end up like a bunch of Commanders with your heads cut
pretty
off.
Pretty much, yes.
It's like presidents.
Here. Yeah.
The Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, was just fined $100,000 by the team for his comments about January 6th.
Well, it sounds like they must be spicy.
Must be.
Yeah, well, let's
it
see.
It could just be an opinion, right?
Maybe.
I don't know, but he was fined $100,000. For his opinions on January 6th and comparing it to the billions of dollars in damages of Black Lives Matter riots. Actually, and by the way, people make insensitive comparisons all the time. Guilty. This wasn't one of them. I think we have a clip.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it? I'd talk about it with anybody. Yeah, no problem. At any time. But they're not. I'm just expressing myself. And I think we all as Americans have the right to express ourselves, especially if you're being respectful. I'm being respectful. I just asked a simple question, really. Let's get right down to it. What did I ask? A simple question. Why are we not looking into those things? If we're going to talk about it, why are we not looking into those things?
Talking about Black Lives Matter riots, burning, looting.
I can realistically look at it. I see the images on TV. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down. No problem. And then we have a dust up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it kind of two standards. And if we apply the same standard and we're going to be reasonable with each other, let's have a discussion. That's all it was. Let's have a discussion. We're Americans. Let's talk it through.
Now, I don't know anything about sports outside of combat sports. That's, you know, people know this. Everyone mocks me for it, rightfully so. I'm so glad that it doesn't hurt me to not have to watch the NBA, the NFL. I'm so glad that it's not something that I miss, because you can't say, okay, I'm going to boycott Disney and cancel my subscription and still give money to these organizations. $100,000 he was fined. I thought it might be a joke.
No, by his own team.
By his own team for this tweet. He wrote, "Would love to understand the whole story about why the summer of riots, looting, burning, and the destruction of personal property is never discussed, but this is." And that was in response to January 6th.
Yeah.
That's an entirely valid question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the problem that you saw there, the only words was dust up. Dust up is what everybody grabbed onto in his June 8th response to the tweet that you just read, because everybody was up in arms about it. Like, hey, what are you talking about? He comes out and responds with that. Like, a dust up happens and everybody's like, oh, you're calling the threat to democracy a dust up?
Call it a brouhaha and grow
whatever
up.
Whatever it is, you know.
The something. Only person who was killed, who was that?
Oh, well, hold on. You're foreshadowing right now, right? So let me just go over some of the things really quickly, because we know
there's
big hearings going on right now about the worst threat to our democracy ever. Much less the riots. So January 6th versus BLM, let's talk about money, right? BLM riots, $1 to $2 billion. I believe that was within 2 weeks of the George Floyd incident.
Yeah, that was in 2020, and they've never updated the number. Even though the riots have not stopped.
Yeah, absolutely.
So call it at least a cool $3 billion. But back then it was $2 billion.
Yeah.
But
what's a few billion between friends?
That doesn't count the millions given to the organization. And by that I mean a couple women, right?
Yeah,
right.
Who now have
their homes.
Bel Air
mansions.
By the way, January 6th, $2.73 million in damages. is not even enough to buy one of those mansions
right
in Bel Air. I'm saying you need money for
you could give that amount of money to one of the heads of the Black Lives Matter chapters and be like, no, I'm supposed to deal with this shit.
So
what are you gonna do, buy a pool house?
Come on.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, it does take money for that. But if it's not just money, if you're talking about people hurt and talking about deaths, understandably, right? Let's talk about that, right? So in the 2 weeks following George Floyd incident, there were 19 people who were killed. A majority of those victims were black people.
More than 1,000 officer casualties. Yep. All references available, by the way, at louderwithcrowder.com.
Yeah. And then on January 6th, despite what we were told initially, and then initially the corrections that didn't correct it, there was one person that was killed. She was shot while jumping through a window. Her name was Ashley Babbitt. Was not entirely obvious that that person needed to be shot. There was no special investigation that everybody got to see. Like every other story we've heard, fine, whatever.
And can you pause real quick? Because a lot of people, and I, if you watch regularly or you're listening on audio, you listen regularly, you know this. A huge percentage of Americans don't.
Not at all.
They really don't
know. They believe that four or five officers were killed, including Officer Brian Sicknick, who died of natural or potentially self-inflicted causes, right?
Yeah.
It's not true. Even the people on the side of the left, the people who've been running the investigations, our own intelligence agencies, who would really want this to be true, have had to say, okay, it's not true. None of these officers were actually killed.
Right.
But that's also why it's so pernicious, because the Sports Illustrated article, when I was reading this about Del Rio, it's still...
Yeah.
Promotes this narrative that four people died because of the riot.
Well, listen to how
these are journalists.
Yeah, listen how they phrase it now, though. They're actually just adjoining these two things. They're saying because of the riot, not at the riot. They weren't killed during the riot, but it was because of the strain or stress of the riot. Those deaths are attributable to the riot.
I wonder if there was any deaths from stress related to losing people's livelihoods.
Or just from being shot by people at the Black Lives Matter protest directly.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Being shot is also stressful.
That's also stabbed.
It can be. Yeah.
Being lit on fire.
Yeah.
Things that actually happen, you know, repeatedly.
Yeah. Who knows, though?
Who knows?
The world will never know.
No, the world will. Well, no, that's right. The world does know.
Oh, right.
That's right. The world does know. They just want to lie anyway. Right now with their stupid grandstanding. I watched the January 6th.
I did too on Thursday.
Committee hearing.
It's nonsense.
And I watched it. Here's the thing. I'm going, you went through the hours and hours of footage. Now, I was as pissed as anyone. I'm going, look, you shouldn't be sitting there at Nancy Pelosi's desk. You're an ass. You deserve to be arrested for trespassing. Got it. That's it. Okay, that's about where it ended. This was stupid. A few, you know, couple hundred people got out of control. Those people should face repercussions for trespassing. We were all on board with that. But then I'm watching this. I'm going, they went through all of the footage. Keep in mind, they're making a case, right? They are presenting their strongest case possible. I'm going, my God, hold on a second. I'm looking at this, and they pushed down a barricade, and then the people's house, someone threw a trash can. I'm going, is this it? Is this what you've got?
Yeah.
No.
Not one fire was lit. Like, they didn't bring some black cats or anything.
Well, and let's say allegedly there's footage of a police officer waving you in. Wouldn't that kind of take away the trespassing charge?
I mean,
there were such a thing
for
to
some
exist,
of them, yes.
Which it does.
Right. And I thought we've shown
the people's house. But anyway, I digress.
It's public property. What?
Let's go back to the NFL, because the NFL, like this, by the way, Jack Del Rio, if he doesn't like simmer down on this, he will be out of a job in a heartbeat, because the NFL will put their foot down on this, but nothing else, right? Yeah. Because they're going to piss off.
Well, that's also, keep in mind, the NFL is also, remember, Colin Kaepernick said, it's slavery, and he just repeatedly wants to audition for slavery.
He does, because apparently being drafted to be a slave is tough these
then
days.
Then he cast men who looked the most like slaves.
Yes.
The slave master came out from roots like, nah, you listen here. Which one of you is going to be my strongest slave? Oh, pick me, Colin Kaepernick, pick me. No, I want myself a good slave who can actually play. Pick me, I want to be a slave. It's just laughable. Slavery? You don't audition for slavery.
Yeah.
You run. And then they usually catch you with a net anyways. It's horrible.
Well, and then they really don't give you millions and millions of dollars in Nike contracts.
They tend not to.
Right.
Well, and Ed
Reed. They don't time your 40. They shoot you while you're running.
That's the thing that's nice about human trafficking.
Stop. Okay.
The Reebok contract.
According to Ravens Hall of Famer Ed Reed, the $100,000 fine is not enough.
This is the problem. It's a doggy piling now.
Right, exactly. So I'll read the quote. Today, I'm sick and tired. A dust up? $100,000 is not enough. Money ain't nothing to a person who is recycled through coaching. Not sure what that means. It's always one. First, it was Saban. Now it's Jack to just remind us what it is. Man, if you coached by him, put your pants on. It's simple, right, and wrong.
I can't decipher what he's trying to say.
He's upset.
Okay.
I think that's what you need to take from it. All right. And so obviously, you know, Keith Olbermann, this person is totally sane. Took to Twitter and said, at NFL, you have to ban Coach Del Rio today. Enough of these. It was a dust up. Fantasizers, 1-6 deniers, defenders of sedition, and bull stuff. Get that son of a bee off the field. This isn't free speech. Ah, oh, this argument. This isn't free speech. He's a private employee. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. When Colin Kaepernick was doing his thing, when Ed Reed was doing his thing, with a bunch of players in the NFL doing their thing, and we said, no, you can't do that. You said, oh, it's free speech.
Right.
We were like, no, he's a private employee.
Right.
Keith Olbermann, are you now on our side that free speech does exist?
And by the way, creating a false equivalency, because just to be clear here, I think what Colin Kaepernick did was far worse and more uninformed.
Yes.
Saying that the United States is a country based on slavery, that he won't stand for an unjust country, and then auditioning for the organization that he's claimed is basically a slavery combine. I don't even know what that means. I think that's far dumber and far more offensive to the basic human being's intellect, of average intelligence, mind you, than saying, hey, why can't we ask about the Black Lives Matter riots that were billions of dollars in damages, thousands of casualties with officers alone, thousands of arrests, over 19 deaths in the 2 weeks. Why can't we talk about those? And they prove his point. Why can't we ask questions about those things and only talk about this dust up that had taken place January 6th? And what do? They immediately punish him for talking about those things.
And I will bet money right now that he is fired before the season starts. I guarantee you,
these guys
have no balls whatsoever, especially these guys. So, and then NBC Sports, Mike Florio, the wokest of the woke, parroted the NAACP calls to have him fired. He couldn't be outdone.
Oh.
Washington Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio calling the January 6th insurrection a dust-up earlier this week, and also making the false equivalence to the riots that happened in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd and others. Multiple examples of police violence directed to minorities in 2020 and the organic reaction to that. The president of the NAACP said yesterday it's time for Del Rio to resign or be fired.
Okay, so let me just explain a couple of things here. Well, first off, let's recap this. A coach is fined $100,000 for downplaying January 6th, which killed zero black people. The only person who was killed was an old white broad, by the way, an older white broad who was a Trump supporter who was going through a window, and it was completely an unnecessary shoot. Pretty much everyone agrees on that if you've actually looked at the footage.
Yes.
So this NFL coach is fined $100,000, but the same organization celebrates Black Lives Matter, which has led to dozens of deaths, largely black people, when you're talking about citizens, let alone officers, and let alone the black officers who have been the victim of these casualties at the hands of this domestic terrorist organization. But here is the point that I think really matters. We just talked about the Patriot Front. It's absurd. Hopefully they're relegated to the history books as this failed drinking club. The problem that you run into, and I've said this before, is you are going to breed extremism when we used to talk about this, where we used to talk about people who were actual white supremacists, right? They would say, hey, don't push them all the way to the edge that they have no way back, because that's when you make them more extreme. You want to try and pull them back. But now we are literally saying, hey, shove everyone off of the playing field and also the field of discussion. Push them so far to the edge just for pointing out that cities were destroyed by Black Lives Matter. And guess what? Guess what happens with this? People are afraid to speak out because they'll be fined. They get picked off. So people as individuals say, we literally can't even ask questions about these. Or, you know, my business was burned down, but what I don't want to have happen is me be fired from my new job. So they become silent, they speak in quiet, and then they feel like, in order to just be safe, and I don't mean physically safe, in order to maintain their livelihood, they need to become a part of a group. And guess what? You just served as recruiting for the white supremacists that you claimed you hate. Just as Black Lives Matter serves as recruiting for financial frauds and grifters. This is what happens when you push. We used to say, don't push people too far who are already pretty extreme. And now we are saying, let's present even mainstream views, mainstream black views, by the way, of Black Lives Matter and defund the police. To be clear, all the references are available at LatterWithCrowder.com. We have that polling data from black Americans. The vast majority don't believe in defunding the police and weren't big fans of the organization. Let's push all of these people off of the ideological playing field. Let's push them to the wings of extremism and then be surprised and bitch about the fact that we're divided more than ever here in the United States. If this is an offense worthy of a $100,000 fine, guess what? The NFL has said, you, as a mainstream, unless you are a radical leftist who believes that Black Lives Matter is faultless, blameless, as Mike Florio just said, what do you say, the false equivalence? Yeah. What do you say? the illegitimate comparison? Yeah. Well, I guess you're right, because one was very violent and destroyed livelihoods and the entire country tore us apart. And the other one was, I don't know, let's call it a hootenanny that took place with a couple hundred people and no one was killed at the Capitol. Let's just be clear about that. It is an entirely illegitimate comparison because of how violent Black Lives Matter has been. Not only do I think this, not only does everyone in this room think this, the vast majority of Americans believe this, and you have said that they are not welcome to have a seat at the table, they are not welcome to play in major sports organizations, and they are not welcome to even be on mainstream media platforms, nor social media platforms. Where do you expect them to go? How do you expect them to evolve from here? It's only going to get worse if you don't let anyone speak, especially when it's as rational as this. But comment below. I want to hear from you. What is, if this is an affront worthy of fining, what could he have possibly said? Is there any way that Del Rio could have criticized the Black Lives Matter riots? Is there any way that he could have criticized the media that wouldn't have resulted in a fine? I don't know. Is there a way he could have phrased it? I can't think of it. That's how far we are. This has been, thank you so much. Sorry, I had to go with it there.
You're fine.
Gerald knows sports and I don't.
I know. It's so frustrating because you're right. You're making it to where people can't even have a dialogue. He was the most respectful that I've heard in that. Like, I think we, as Americans, we can talk about this stuff. We can talk about it respectfully. A dust up happens. You know why he said that? Because you said it was the greatest attack on democracy ever. Do you know what they were protesting for? For Mike Pence to send the vote back to the states. That was it.
Yeah,
it didn't change anything. It could potentially change something.
But what is that the definition of a dust up? Because well, I think fair. That it would probably fit the definition if you look at it.
It's just they think he's minimizing it and
but I don't think he is. I think that if you look at what it is a it's a fight. It's a giant fight.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that I don't think it's downplaying it. I think they're just trying to make you think it's downplaying it.
Well, they're trying to make you think it that this was Donald Trump trying to overthrow a duly elected president, which has never happened in our history before, and that's not what it was.
I mean, he called the riot a riot.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? He called the other thing a dust-up, which is what essentially it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about maybe Nancy Pelosi with dereliction of duty?
Well, and all this stuff. I keep hearing, too, that
the Sergeant of Arms, anybody?
Well, they crapped on her desk, and I'm like, that's not true. That was it's Amber Heard mixed with.
I was about to say, yeah.
They crapped. Somebody crapped in her driveway.
It's a fake news
and
then, centaur.
Yeah, and all this other stuff. Yeah, and all this other stuff in the media has made people think that. But so many people have asked me, like, but they did crap on her desk, right? And I'm like, no, I wish, but they didn't.
But let's even say someone crapped on her desk. Is that reason to be jailed for months without trial, forfeiting your rights for sedition because you left a grumpy on the speaker's desk?
Yeah. 3 years because you wore a stupid hat?
Yeah. Right.
If you like attacked, Fred Flintstone?
If you attacked a cop, even if you assaulted a cop, right, or bad, I don't even know what the terms are, but if you caused harm to one of the police officers, you should be tried for it.
Yep.
You should be charged immediately. I'm sorry. I don't care how pissed off you got. You should be tried for it. Deal. If you walked into the Capitol among a crowd of people, and they want to charge you with trespassing, fine. I'm sure you'll pay the $200 fine.
I have trespassing charges.
Do you?
No, warnings. When we did one of the Crowder confronts at that Juice Land, they called, you know, the person who threatened
to Juice Land
for 1 year. The Juice Land in Austin for 1 year. The cops were like, hey, what's going on? I said, well, I wasn't trespassing. They said they were going to call the police. So I wanted to speak with you. And I had a Bristol board with all the threats to slash my tires and firebomb the car. And I was like, by the way, here's a thumb drive. So you have it. This is all the information that you need and all of their personal information. He was like, all right, just don't come back to Juice Land for a year. I'm like, I can't go to any Juice Land. He's like, no, just this Juice Land. You're actually fine on that other side of the sidewalk. Just for 1 year. And I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. I don't have to pay anything. He's like, no, you don't have to pay anything. Just don't come back.
Officer, I don't ever think I was intending to come to a Juice Land again.
No, I was going to confront that person again if they had moved up to middle management of Juice Land.
Every time they get a promotion.
Yes. That is fair.
Because I'm petty and small-minded. By the way, Dave and I are on, we're on tour. This is the last of our dates together here. You can go to ladderwithcrowder.com/tour, Colorado Springs.
Yeah, Saturday.
We just released, I think, a couple hundred tickets.
Yeah.
Because we often hold some tickets for walk-ups.
Yeah.
Big comps.
Yeah, comp. They're called comps for, is it June 18th? This Saturday. Go to ladderwithcrowder.com/tour. And then we will be announcing our major fall tour tomorrow, Dave and I. Okay. This is one. We're going to send it back over to me here. Because I don't know sports, but I do know Canada.
Yes. Oh, Canada. Mm. Oh, Canada.
This is why I'm in this chair. If you make an A joke, I swear to you, I will murder you where you stand.
Like with
where you sit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I really wanna.
You won't go home.
No home, eh?
I won't do it on air because I need culpable.
Give him a Canadian necktie.
Yes.
Which is
actually just, giving him a necktie.
Yeah, it's just a necktie fire. Covered in syrup.
In a nice gift box.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, and this is important. Wrapped. I always tell people Canada is a very important Petri dish because a lot of Americans don't understand these laws that exist in other Commonwealth countries where they don't have the Constitution of the United States. And in Canada, this is very close. So you don't have to go all the way over to Europe. And you would be surprised when you go to Canada just how American it seems in so many ways on its surface. And then you go just a couple layers deeper and you realize that the rights you take for granted on a daily basis are one brush of the pen away from going away forever. So over the weekend, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that gun rights, as they relate to self-defense, don't exist in Canada.
We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership.
Okay, sorry, we got the wrong clip. I apologize. That's not him, but here is Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying that you have no right to self-defense with firearms in Canada.
Yeah.
And there are debates, and we have a culture where the difference is guns can be used for hunting or for sport shooting in Canada, and there's lots of gun owners, and they're mostly respecting and law-abiding. But you can't use a gun for self-protection in Canada. That's not a right that you have in the Constitution or anywhere else. If you try and buy a gun and say it's for self-protection, no, you don't get that. You get it for hunting. You can get it for sport shooting. You can take it to the range. As long as you go through our rigorous background checks. But there's a difference around the culture. And one of the things that we're seeing with the debate in the States is you get more and more of the American-style, you know, right to carry, self-defense arguments filtering up through the you know, the usual more right-wing communications channels.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. By the way, that's a good thing. I like that he says more right-wing because he's saying those crazy right-wingers believe that you have the right to defend your home and your wife and your private property. We don't believe that here in Canada. Keep in mind, when you're talking about the Second Amendment, when you're looking at the actual case law, when you're looking at Heller versus D.C., look at the dissenting opinions here in the United States. It was you have no right to, private citizens have no right to own a firearm whatsoever. So when people on the left are saying, the Second Amendment's not absolute, which is why that was the question of the day, what they're not saying we need an assault weapons ban. They're not saying we should have a waiting period, which, by the way, I'm also against. They're saying that private citizens don't have the right to own a firearm whatsoever because we've misinterpreted the Constitution. Therefore, we become exactly like Canada. And he is saying you get it for hunting. Well, he grants it. Keep in mind, these assholes still have the royalty on their money. So he's saying, we grant it. I allow you to. I'm tired of Canadians acting as though they're better than the United States. We fought off the royalty because we didn't believe in them. That's why we left. You bent the knee. You're a nation founded on cowardice. And I say this as a Canadian with great shame. Canada is a nation founded on cowardice. The United States is a nation founded upon a violent revolution. Violence is not immoral. That's immoral. Robbing people of the right to defend themselves is immoral. You want to know what else is immoral? Let me give you a few examples of what has happened in Canada. We're not the rapist, the murderer, the criminal, the home invader being punished, but the defender of their own life and livelihood punished. So we have after being stabbed in the head while sleeping, Vincent Bunn stabbed his assailant to death. He was sleeping, stabbed in the head. He stabbed the other guy who was stabbing. Well, he was sentenced for murder. The man who was stabbed in his sleep.
Yeah,
I think if someone stabs you in your sleep, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want to that guy. I don't give a rat's ass what you do with the corpse.
Yeah.
Fold it like a pizza slice and put it in the bird feeder for all I care. He was stabbing you in your sleep. In Canada, you get arrested if you stab back.
Yeah. And to be fair, they said he stabbed him too many times. The 13th stab is what actually killed him because they were still fighting and then kicked him a couple of times after that.
Mm.
That was what, he was dead and you kicked him a couple of times.
Right.
That's interesting.
Then there's Ian Thompson. He fired 3 rounds from a revolver to scare off a group who was firebombing his home. What happened? He was the one charged with pointing a firearm along with 2 counts of careless storage of a firearm.
Sorry.
Actually, I don't think that was careless. I think that was very prudent storage because you were able to access your firearm when your home was being firebombed.
Right. And by the way, Joe Biden said fire two shots in the air. He did it into the ground, or essentially the same thing. Come on.
Yeah.
Get your story straight, guys.
Brian really, Knight.
Really fighting fire with fire.
Right.
Arm, yeah. Really. I mean, you should be allowed to, whatever.
I want to fight fire with death stupid. Of those lighting the fire.
Yeah, they're lucky they didn't get shot.
Yes. I have no problem with someone setting a fire, firebombing someone's house or personal property. I have no problem with the victim shooting them. And I don't see the people committing the crime, even if they were killed, to be victims.
I prefer it.
You forfeit your right to live when you do that. Brian
absolutely
Knight.
Absolutely you do.
Another man in Canada convicted after shooting a man who was attempting to steal his ATV. Just to be clear, this is one of those things where, you know what? Hey, I believe if someone is on your property trying to steal, destroy your stuff, and I tried to go in descending order with the most absurd. You have people in the UK, by the way, as well, who've been arrested for using fake guns, for instilling fear in home invaders. This is what happens in the countries where the Second Amendment isn't absolute. And the arrogance that you see with that Prime Minister blackface. By the way, is no one going to... Did he just get a pass on that? Megyn Kelly was fired because she said that when she was a kid, she dressed up like Diana Ross for Halloween. And this guy gets to do blackface 1,900 times and no one cares? This is the guy who's now in control of your right to defend your own life and limb? You guys don't see a problem with this?
You don't have that right. Remember...
In Canada, you don't.
You don't have it.
I can give it to you for hunting, you know, if you kiss the ring.
How is he allowed to just make all these decisions, just him?
Well, it's Canada, and it's absurd.
It's amazing, though. He has no effect on me personally.
Right.
And I've never hated someone so much.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's wrong to hate.
It is wrong to hate.
But I get it.
But, I mean, as far as costuming goes, great at blackface.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, really the best.
He really commits to it.
Yes.
Because he doesn't just do blackface. He does black arms. He does black legs.
He goes all the way.
He goes all the way.
Well, this is what happens when you trust
institutions. It's like a Bollywood movie.
Right? This is what happens when you trust them. And you say, look, we're going to give you all the power that we want, and we're scared, and the government needs to take care of us. It just... Listen.
But he's
sadistic. I don't know that anybody would have said that Justin Trudeau, like, you couldn't fit him for a black hat early on, right? You could probably say, if you knew Justin Trudeau, be like, oh, he's probably not going to be a good prime minister. But now it's like... Wait, he's literally saying you have no right to defend yourself with a firearm or property, really, by extension,
right,
at all. Like, it doesn't exist. How many steps further do you think he could possibly go?
And by the way, this, I should be clear, this isn't new.
No.
He's just reiterating what I have communicated here, and people have said that's a straw man. It's not. I've lived it. I lived there. I know it. And it's gotten worse. And it's getting worse. And this guy is arrogant about it. And guess what? You just need the Supreme Court to tilt the wrong direction, or you pack it. And the wrong person in the White House for that to happen right here. And I'm not talking about AR-15s for people who are going, ooh, you love to separate it. Ooh, AR-15s, because you don't know anything about firearms. Your revolver.
Yeah.
Your basic handgun. Your pump shotgun. Your hunting rifle. It will be rendered useless for self-defense because that's what they have done everywhere not named the United States of America. And by the way, speaking of this, in the United States, Michael Moore, who looks like a transitioning Walter White, would like America to adopt this exact same position. Here he is on MSNBC saying that we don't need guns and we'll have him here in studio.
I think that we need some really drastic action here. We need a moratorium, perhaps, on gun sales. We need to, who will say on this network or any other network in the next few days, it's time to repeal the Second Amendment.
Sorry, I'm just writing down. I'm writing down a note that he's an asshole.
Oh, I told you that.
Those are some pretty rough. I mean, no, it's, I want to say it's not at all something that I didn't expect. I wish I could say I'm surprised, but look, respect to anyone who's willing to reach across the aisle and have a conversation, as extreme as he may be, wanted to bring in Michael Moore to explain our home state of Michigan, and here he is. We'll bring him in studio. All right, so this was over the weekend. Of course, Michael Moore, we just showed you, said we have to repeal the Second Amendment. Here he is to explain his point of view. Michael Moore, thank you for being here, sir.
You guys need ramps. There are so many stairs here.
We don't have any stairs in the studio. It's we just have the, we don't have, well, it's this a curb, place, really.
Yeah, it's a step, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well, this place isn't ADA compliant. I had to park my mobility scooter outside.
Oh, I didn't know. That was it was actually just a forklift with a Free Willy hammock.
Potato, potato. That's my truth.
Okay, let's get down to it. You think the Second Amendment should be repealed, is what we...
Yes. I've always been anti-gun, but now I've had enough.
And have you... You've had enough. Something he's probably never said after a meal.
No, I don't.
I've closed down more restaurants than COVID. Hey, are you shaming me?
A little bit,
okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, Steven, listen. Yeah. You guys all making fun of me because I'm a fat person is just low-hanging fruit, which is also the only thing I won't eat.
You don't really strike me as a vegetable guy either.
Right.
Veggie what?
They're an edible type of plant. It doesn't really matter. To your other point, you think that no one should have guns, Mr. Moore. Do you agree with the Prime Minister just because it seems your justification is you don't like them?
70% of us do not own firearms. We are not a nation of gun owners.
We are actually absolutely a nation of gun owners, and we have the right to defend ourselves, and your stat is not correct.
Then I say guns shouldn't be in the home. We should do what other countries do and store them at the gun range. Similar to how I store travel sandwiches in Amazon lockers all across America.
Wait, what? What's a travel sandwich?
What is that? What's a travel sandwich?
Oh, those are sandwiches that I make to take on the road with me when I go on adventures to get fast food.
I would imagine that those sandwiches are, the Amazon lockers are first floor Amazon lockers.
Yeah, I can't go use stairs.
Right, so you make a sandwich. Hold on a second, I want to make sure I understand. Yeah. You make a sandwich to go pick up food?
Yes, a travel sandwich.
You are an absolute animal. You're a disgusting human being, but let's get back on track. So safely keeping a gun in your house, by the way, is what makes sense. People keeping firearms in their home, not in travel sandwich lockers. If someone breaks in...
Then get a dog.
Well, I have both a gun and a dog.
Yeah.
Pick one.
No, there's no reason that responsible gun owners should have... That's the thing. I think you should get a dog. I think a dog is better than a gun, but you should have both, and you don't have the right to take
people. And you have the right to both, yeah.
All
yeah.
right. Well, let me explain it like this, okay?
He's okay, it's smell, an analogy.
All right, yes,
he,
an analogy.
He brought a snack.
Now, let's imagine... Okay, hold on. First, let me get all the gross stuff off of here.
Yeah. All the vegetables?
Oh, that's what those are?
Yes, that's what... Yeah.
Okay, now let's imagine... This triple whopper is the Second Amendment, okay?
You got a triple.
Triple whopper.
Yeah.
And
they really made those.
So we're just going to take it apart bite by bite.
All right.
So, bump stocks?
Can't have those no more.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
9mm pistols? Can't have that. Might blow around.
Well, at least the work.
Mm-hmm. So good.
You just came here to eat a burger, didn't you, Michael Moore?
No, pretty much. Yeah, I did that.
All right. That's enough. Get out of here. That's disgusting. All right.
That guy needs to go on a diet.
Again,
something.
Stephen and I, as ambassadors for the state of Michigan, would like to apologize for Michael Moore, as we have on several occasions.
You know he's going to come out.
It's never enough.
In a couple years as a woman. Calling it now.
I thought he already was.
He's going to come out.
I guarantee you.
You're probably right.
I think him and Stephen King are actually going to be a lesbian couple that own a bookstore.
Just be going to the shop and you're like a Bass Pro. You're like, Stephen King and Michael Moore, you're bullshitting. Like, this is where we buy our shirts.
Yeah. King and Moore books.
We still stand with Ukraine. I mean, I don't stand, but you know, I'll sit with Ukraine for a while.
Wait, that's the Ukrainian
I'm
flag?
More so
I
rove.
A rainbow flag.
I made it to the Grand Canyon. Hover around.
Just keep going. There needs to be a ramp.
Yeah. We're crying out loud. We don't have steps here. All right.
Yeah, I can see it from the car.
Right.
I've seen pictures.
Just you go. Just leave. Keep the air running. Keep the air running.
Travel sandwiches.
Now.
Max. Max air.
That's where it recycles the air.
Oh, my gosh.
So it gets my musk. I only found that out recently, by the way, that Max air is recycling the inside air. I thought that it was, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how these things work. I'm not a mechanic.
All I know is it's colder.
So speaking of crazy people who I don't like, let's move on to AOC.
Oh, this is wonderful.
And this is...
Yeah, the bitch.
This is something that is concerning. At first, it's funny.
Yes.
Then it's concerning when you understand... No one, by the way, is willing in the DNC right now to endorse Biden. It's a trend. Yeah. You're seeing them like, well, I don't know. That's worrisome because I don't want... when we're talking about the next election, right, 2024, I don't want it to be for the Democrats. Anyone else?
Yeah.
I want it to be Joe Biden.
I am donating to Joe Biden for America.
Yes.
I want him to be the nominee.
Right. But don't actually donate to Joe Biden for America.
No,
let's not do that. No. But I understand the principle. So here's AOC being asked directly and clearly unnerved as to whether or not she will support or endorse former Vice President Joe Biden.
I just want to ask about President Biden. He is saying he's going to run again in 2024. Will you support him?
You know, if the president chooses to run again in 2024, I mean, first of all, I'm focused on winning this majority right now and preserving a majority this year in 2022. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I think if the president has a vision, then that's something certainly we're all willing to entertain and examine when the time comes.
That's not a yes.
Dana!
Yeah, you know, I think we should
so mad.
Endorse when we get to it. But I believe that the president has been doing a very good job so far. And, you know, should he run again? I think that I think it's ugh. We'll take a look at it.
Okay.
So right now we need to focus on winning a majority instead of a presidential election.
You said this was going to be a softball, Dana.
Yeah. By the way, you don't win a majority when you already have a majority. It's called maintaining the majority or expanding.
Well, Gerald, the thing is, she's retarded. And she says, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That's just like, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Well, because endorsing Biden is the bridge over River Y, I guess. That's what's happening. So I can't blame her.
She moves like a cartoon. Like she moves like you can tell she was raised by Disney and Nickelodeon.
Right.
You notice that? Like she's a cartoon character.
Right.
And her eyes, I just, every time I see him, I jump back.
Right.
It's because she's on ecstasy. She has to be.
Yeah, AOC, give us surprised. I am.
Just these giant.
It's already there.
Yeah, she's very clearly upset. I don't know. That's not a yes. Dana!
Don't call me out.
You see a gun coming into the side of Dana Bash's screen.
It's just a noose just starts. I mean,
there's no evidence that he's going to run again. By the way, she was so underprepared for that. Who is on her staff not paying? Like, you might get a question. Just say, we're not talking about that yet. We're focused on the midterms and move on.
They're too busy mixing daiquiris.
Yeah, well, I love that they didn't prepare. Don't get me wrong. That was wonderful.
Well, this is the problem. We've talked about
this
with
off on DUIs.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, well. Sorry.
The left. This is the problem with is they don't fear any kind of accountability. So in the rare instance where and they didn't have a meeting. This is the problem. They didn't have a meeting. I guarantee you Dana Bash wouldn't have pressed her if she knew that it was going to be a problem.
Right.
But they didn't have a meeting here as far as well, when we say softball, do we mean no follow-up questions? And unfortunately, Dana Bash was just trying to give her the opportunity saying that's not a yes, because she thought AOC would say, well, yes, of course. And instead, AOC didn't want to endorse Biden because she must have seen some recent polling data, you know, from anywhere. And so she was afraid. She didn't want to fall on that sword. Dana Bash didn't really know. She thought she was teeing it up for AOC because they are used to being teed up. Trust me, when you think that there are these people who are experts, whether it's in media, whether it's in academia, whether it's often in science or politics, we've talked about, you know how when you're an adult, when you're a kid, you think that adults all know what they're doing. And then you grow up and you become an adult and you realize, I don't really know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing a little bit more than a six-year-old, but I don't know what I'm doing nearly as much as I believed other adults did when I was six. It's that only more severe with the experts, particularly in areas like politics and education, you know, areas where there's no actual profit bottom line, where someone can look at numbers on a sheet and say, okay, this either worked or it didn't. That's what you just saw happening there.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, she's saying what everybody's thinking right now, right? You guys sold us the lie that it was the most popular president in American history, had more votes than anybody else. He's the savior of our country and that the economy is doing fantastic and we just don't know it yet. And then you had to come straight up to terms with he sucks and nobody likes him. The polling shows that the stock market right now is in the midst of crashing.
No, literally
even
right
further,
now.
Further, I mean,
literally right now.
What happened? What happened? It was down 700 something points.
It's been up, I think, as high as down 850 or so points. And it's like, well, 8.6% inflation last week will do that. And so many negative outlooks on the economy, including the president who said that inflation was just going to be a momentary thing, saying, hey, this may be around for a while.
But first, he said it was good.
Well,
he said it was a good thing. Then he said it's, well, you know, it's something we're just going to, now he's saying there's nothing we can do about inflation. So you're paying record gas prices. You're dealing with record inflation. You're dealing with a horribly screwed up job market. And by that, I mean, there are actually jobs available that people don't want to apply for because they've been conditioned and paid to not work for a while. And now we're dealing with that fallout. We're probably going to actually find ourselves at the point of a labor shortage. The housing market has been artificially manipulated, which we're now seeing correcting itself somewhat. We don't know whether it will correct itself entirely because of Vanguard.
Percentage rate and,
at the mortgage rates, are going way up. We just saw the most amount of homes made available on the market in a month-to-month jump since I believe it was June 2008, but certainly before the 2008 crash. That'll probably be manipulated by too big to fail organizations like Vanguard, BlackRock. So we don't know what's going to happen there. But you are living this right now. Everything is more expensive. You have less money. And oh, wait a second. What are they covering right now? Let's look at CNN. What are they doing right now? What's the priority from this White House? Is covering a, dare I say it, dust up from January 6th. Let's see what they're doing right now.
Span, you know, political ideologies from Trump to McCain to Bush to Christie.
So they're continuing now with this political theater. So don't worry about gas prices, your future, your children's future, your ability to make a living, that your savings is going down the shitter, because we need to get down to the day we almost lost American democracy, which, by the way, this country is not. Dave, by the way, has a solo show this Friday before our show in Colorado Springs, Grand Junction, Colorado, Mesa Theater. All right, we actually have some. We had a little bit of a dust up here in our studio this last week. So we're actually going to need to clear something up with Gingersnap and Gunderson on Mug Club YouTube. You don't want to see this. You don't want to. You don't know nothing about this. Piss off.